This is SB Nation Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Creighton.
Joining us right now on the hotline, covers the Yankees for SB Nation's Pinstripe Alley. He's Josh Diemer. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Great, Patrick. How are you?
Well, I imagine you've been busy the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
All right. So, listen, I have a lot of respect for Brian Cashman. I think he's one of the best GMs in baseball. And looks like he demonstrated this again, because this is like an outright fleecing of the Miami Marlins. You know, I'm not going to be one of those guys who says, you know, Jeter's doing his former team a solid. But I will be one of those guys who says, I think Brian Cashman utilized his experience over the noob that Jeter is in negotiating deals, put him over the table and took out the paddle and beat him on the fanny a bit. Let's talk about the excitement, what's going on in New York. And they had the NL MVP, Giancarlo Stanton, to the Rookie of the Year, and the guy who finished second in the AL MVP, and Aaron Judge. You know, you got a guy who hit 52 homers and a guy who hit 59 homers. Did the M&M boys just come back to the Bronx?
Yeah, we got to come up with a different nickname, I think. But definitely this is the most powerful lineup that I can think of in my lifetime anyway. And it's as happy as today is, it's kind of sad that we have, you know, 2 more months before spring training starts and 3.5 months before opening day, because I kind of just want to watch them hit right now.
You know, it's funny. February of this year, back in February, you know, I talked with Jeff Luhnow. I said, you know, this Astros team probably has the best lineup in the American League, you know, in the last 20 years, like since the 98 Yankees. And they went out, and let's face it, the Astros won the World Series because they could hit. It wasn't because of pitching. Everybody was like, oh, pitching wins championships. Not this year it didn't. When you have elite hitting, you can beat pretty much anybody. The Yankees had close to elite hitting last year. Now they're must-watch TV.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is an offense. Like, the Yankees' offense was the second best in baseball. They were only behind the Astros, who, as you just said, were an all-time offensive team. So, yeah, they're going to be exciting. They're going to be a lot of fun. And that ability to put up 8 or 9 runs a game, which is now not out of the realm of possibility every single night, that just buys you so much leeway with every game that you're in, because it's hard to lose if you're going to be able to hit 4 home runs and score 8 runs.
All right. So, number one, will fans now have to sign medical waivers to attend batting practice?
Yeah, well, that's a possibility. The other thing that I think is, you know, they talk about extending protective netting all the way around. They might want to just put it all the way around the outfield seats too, not just down the baselines. I don't know. You're definitely looking for upper decker seats, though. Those lower level, lower bowl seats are pretty dangerous right now.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You know, Stanton hits a lot of 450-foot moonshots. You probably got to be in the upper deck to catch them. All right,
that's fair, too.
You know, this is the part that bothers me about the deal, and it's nothing on the Yankees' end at all. It's the fact that, you know, to me, Derek Jeter embarrassed himself. You went and had negotiations with two teams that you wasted their time because you didn't ask you didn't ask Giancarlo Stanton, hey, will you take a trade to one of these two teams? You know he's got a no trade. Wouldn't it have made more sense to ask him who he would take the trade to and then negotiate with those teams first, instead of embarrass yourself and then put yourself in a perceived corner by going to teams without his blessing, making deals, and then having to say, sorry, he said no, and look like, you know, horse's fannies?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this whole situation has been mishandled by the Sherman Jeter ownership group since they took over, because as soon as they closed the sale on the Marlins, they said, you know, our top priority is cutting payroll. And when you look at the Marlins payroll, that means getting rid of Giancarlo Stanton. So any leverage that they had, even before talking to St. Louis or San Francisco, was gone, because every team in the league knows that you're trying to get rid of this guy. And, yeah, then exactly to your point, you know, they get egg on their face because Stanton says, no, I don't want to go to either the Giants or the Cardinals. And it's hard to blame him when his preferred choices were, I think, the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Astros. Any player in baseball is going to prefer those four teams over St. Louis and San Francisco, I think.
Well, four biggest cities in the country.
Yeah, and four great teams, four playoff teams. So, yeah, just mismanagement at every level by the Marlins, maybe proving that Derek Jeter's baseball operations skills aren't what, you know, people want to think. A lot of people thought that he's going to come in and be sort of this sleek, right-to-it owner, and I think that he's showing that he maybe doesn't know what he's doing.
As a player, he hit like an all-star. As an executive, so far, he's hitting like Ray Ordonez. With Josh Diemer, Pinstripe Alley, SB Nation covers the Yankees. Josh, the Dodgers just couldn't figure out how to take on that. I mean, they're already at $240 million. They just couldn't figure out how to take on that kind of money and still manage the debt service because they spend everything they make. The fact that they don't even really engage the Cubs or the Astros to at least try to drive up the price on the Yankees, that to me is just management. Like, that's a sin. That's like a felony to not do, you know, your basic due diligence and just see, can I at least drive up the price with some of these other teams and create a market for my guy?
Yeah, and you know, I would have thought, I wasn't really big on the Cubs being in on Stanton. I didn't think that he was a real fit there, just with their situation in terms of their players coming up for contracts. But I did think that Houston would have been a really interesting decision because they have, even though Correa has come up and Bergman's come up, they still have a lot of talent in the minors. This was a team that just won the World Series, but was pushed to seven games by the Dodgers and by the Yankees. So they're not, you know, they won the World Series, but they're not clear-cut the best team in baseball, you know, by head and shoulders. So this was a team that I thought Stanton would have made a lot of sense on, and I haven't even heard anything that the Marlins reached out to them at all.
No, all that I've heard. Short porch at Minute Maid in left field is just begging him to hit home runs.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, the fact that they weren't even at the table for these discussions is stunning to me. I'm not going to complain about it. But, yeah, I could not believe that when I woke up this morning and the Astros hadn't budged at all.
All right, Josh, real quick, tell us about the prospects, well, the prospect and non-prospect, who are going to Miami. Jorge Guzman, I know, has a massive fastball, doesn't necessarily know where it's going. Jose Devers is 18 years old, and he's about 150 pounds soaking wet, and, you know, he's still playing in rookie league ball. What can you tell us about these two guys, the return the Marlins are getting?
Devers, I'm going to be honest, I don't know much of anything about him. He just turned 18 a couple of days ago. He's Rafael Devers' cousin. That's about the extent of my knowledge with him. Jorge Guzman is an interesting prospect. He was one of the pieces in the Brian McCann trade last year that sent McCann to Houston. And, you know, he's got great heat. He throws, you know, 103. This year he spent with the A affiliate for the Yankees and pitched really well. You know, 2.30 ERA, 2.47 FIP, you know, very good numbers. Struck out almost 12 batters an inning, or 12 batters every nine innings, and cut his walk rate in half, which is big because his first exposure in rookie ball, he was walking a lot of guys. He'll be 22 at the start of next season, and in, you know, probably in high A ball. I mean, the Marlins system isn't great, so he might be higher than that just because of the system, but he's a high A ball pitcher at 22 with really good stuff. Maybe he turns into something. I'm not super convinced that he really becomes much, but you know, there's potential there, at least in the arm.
Real quick, do you think Starlin Castro stays with the Marlins, or do they move him ASAP?
Oh, I think that they move him as soon as possible. Yeah, because even his, you know, even his contract, which I think is $11 million for 2018, seems to be too high for the Marlins' liking. So the Mets are looking for a middle infielder, so it might just be best to just send him to the Mets. And then he doesn't even have to, you know, get a new apartment. He can just kind of stay at home and wait for that phone call. Couple other teams, you know, maybe the Jays would be interested in a middle infielder or somebody like that. But yeah, I would be surprised if he was on the Marlins for 2018.
Josh Demert, follow him on Twitter at Joshua Demert. Check him out at Pinstripe Alley as well. Josh, thanks so much for your time, buddy. Appreciate it.